Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I am Brett Witterbull in for Greg Corumbus at Radio America, joined by National Review Online's Jim Garrity. Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Happy Thursday, Brett.
Hey, look, it's almost the weekend. We're so close. But I can think of no better way to celebrate the coming weekend than a great martini. And this great martini, I'm seeing the bottle. It's got GOP etched on the side of the bottle. I'm detecting a little bit of enthusiasm here, Jim Garrity. What's going on?
It's a luxury brand, Brett. Absolutely. Only the richest 1% is good enough for this. No, this is a good news in the CBS New York Times poll. We got some hints and snippets of it yesterday. As you kind of expect, enthusiasm amongst Republicans is surging. In April, it was about 36% of Republicans said they were very enthusiastic. Now we're up to 49%. That's now basically an even par between Republicans and Democrats. Now, you look at the state of the country, you look at the policies President Obama is pursuing, you look at Obamacare being upheld by the Supreme Court and the fiscal cliff approaching at the end of the year. I'm kind of surprised that the number isn't closer to like 99%. Brett, I kind of figure that if you're a Republican, you can't get fired up by these circumstances. I don't know what you need, because it's not like the stakes, it couldn't be any higher. But then I have to remind myself, it is only July. There are a lot of people who are normal human beings who don't follow politics as intensely as we do, who may not be tuning in quite yet. But I think, look, I think these stakes are exceptionally high. And I think whatever, grievances or beefs or problems folks might have with Mitt Romney are starting to kind of wither on the vine. I really liked his speech Tuesday over in Irwin, Pennsylvania. I kind of felt like I'd finally seen the fire in the belly and the fire in the eyes of Mitt Romney that I wrote. By far, one of his best speeches is of the cycle, just, full of passion and enthusiasm and a bit of, righteous indignation about Obama's. If you have a business, you didn't build that line. So right. I think we're finally seeing Republicans come together and get charged up and get fired up. Just got a matter of keep building upon this and keep it going. But it's nice to see the polling starting to indicate a result you want to see as early as possible in the campaign cycle.
Absolutely. And goodness knows that we've got the high proof stuff going on here. And we had the low proof yesterday with Nancy Pelosi telling the Democrats to AmScray from North Carolina not to come in for the convention and to stay in their districts. So it's great to see that enthusiasm off the charts here on the Republican side of the argument. I'm looking at a very bad martini, Jim Garrity. I don't know. I don't even know that I want to taste this because it's pretty frightening. It's pretty scary. Coming out of the insane state of California, State Senator Juan Vargas. Looking at all the problems California faces, $16 billion in the red, a collapsing business sector, people fleeing by the week. And what is his idea to fix the problems here? Well, he's introduced a new bill that will require pet groomers in the state of California to undergo 900 hours of training and be certified and pay a fee. Jim, what's going on here?
I kind of marvel at this. So, I'm trying to think about how many hours a surgeon needs to do that. And I figure it's got to be something akin to 900 hours. This phenomenon is often called guildism, which is to say that when people in a particular field don't want new talent, don't want new business owners to come in and compete with them. First of all, they make insist that you get licensed to do such. And then the next thing is you have to jump through enormous amounts of hoops. And they try to set that bar as high as possible. Because in this case, the current dog groomers of California do not want people doing it. Now, look, I am not a dog owner, Brett. You brush the fur, right?
Yeah, and you give them a bath and you...
Maybe if you got one of those little sissy foo-foo dogs, you kind of put a little pink bow in the poodle's hair or something. I just can't imagine. Like, if you actually seriously asked me to train a dog groomer, I can't think of something that would take more than like 2 hours.
Yeah,
put
900.
Dog in tub, apply water, apply soap, things like that. This 5 minutes should be enough to do it. And unfortunately, these sorts of things happen all across the country. My best example of this is that I believe the state of Maryland wants you to get a license to be a fortune teller. Because the state of Maryland does not want amateur fortune tellers just running around willy-nilly telling, reading people's palms and looking into crystal balls and just saying you have to actually, pass a certification process to be officially licensed fortune teller by the state of Maryland. Because, look, the last thing I'd want is some scam running around. I only want honest fortune tellers going on in this one.
And it's kind of easy to take that test because a good fortune teller will know all the answers.
Yeah, there you go. So now, in light of that, you really think the budgeting of Maryland will be better since they have all these fortune tellers at their disposal, all of their officially state-licensed fortune tellers at their disposal. But no, no, they keep chasing out their millionaires and such. So this is a disturbing trend to keep an eye on in state government. And the idea, like this state lawmaker really deserves every bit of mockery and derision and ridicule that he's going to get over this. I think off the top of your head, you can come up with a good 900 or so other things that California has to worry about.
Living here at least 900. For the record, the average number of certificated jobs that exist out there in states around the country is something like 72. There are 72 professions in states around the country that require certification. In California, it's 150. So there you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. All right, well, that's a very bad martini. Let's go ahead and I'm going to throw that thing over there in the garbage can with Juan Vargas's logo on the side of it. Let's take a look at the crazy martini. Now, this crazy martini, it only occurs in the dark of night in a frightening scenario. I'm getting images of a villain wearing a nice suit and a nice haircut. Did he work
no,
for
no, no, that,
what's going on here?
Brett, that's the hero. That's Bruce Wayne. So this is Batman movie release week. My understanding is that the midnight showings start tonight. I will probably not be at those, but try to catch it this weekend if they're not all sold out. But those of you who have been living in a cave, no bat cave pun intended,
sure,
would point out that have probably have seen that in the new movie, the bad guy is named Bane, B-A-N-E. Obviously, Bane of existence. This is a character that came along in the comic books years and years ago. But because the name is Bane Capital, which is spelled B-A-I-N, there are quite a few folks who really think that, oh, this is really going to hurt Mitt Romney. This is, look out for Bane. Bane is scary. And there are actually Politico's run a story on this. CBS News has written a story on this. Now, if the Democrats really want to say, don't you understand that a very successful venture capital firm is just like this murderous villain from the Batman movie? Even by the standards of our politics, that's kind of exceptionally on the dumb side, Brett. But what I could really love, and I say this judging the movie The Dark Knight Rises only on its trailers, I have not seen it. It's possible I'm misinterpreting it, but yeah, as soon as the trailers came out, people said, wow, Bane and Catwoman, the other villain in this movie, are taking a very Occupy Wall Street theme that they talk about, tearing down the rich of Gotham City who have been prospering on the underclass. And there are scenes of riots and people attacking rich people and stuff like that. And some of the reviews have said that it's a very explicit theme. So, I mean, Bane is basically Occupy Wall Street on steroids. Does this mean the movie is very political? My guess is this is probably just Christopher Nolan, director, saying, look, we are all vulnerable to demagoguery. Envy within almost all of us. This is a very dark and powerful force within us, and it's very easy to manipulate. Who's the guy running around touting class warfare? Brett, I mean, who on the campaign trail is saying the rich people are the problem and your lives would be so much better off if it weren't for them? I mean, it ain't Mitt Romney. The dashing guy in the suit. No. That's the demon. We know which side Bruce Wayne is on, and he uses his skills and powers to make the world a better place. So,
This, you've given me a lot to think about. I'm a little buzzed from all these martinis, and you've given me a lot to think about. I'm thinking what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to take one for the team. I'm going to have to set the alarm clock, go to bed very early, wake up about 11 o'clock, and go see the movie at midnight. I think that's what I'm going to have to do, because I'm going to have to make sense of this myself.
For folks who often find political messages from Hollywood that are often very heavy-handed, the last Batman movie definitely dealt with themes of like extraordinary rendition and surveillance and things like that. And I think Nolan's a guy who, whether you love him or hate him, I think he doesn't come out terribly heavy-handed. I think he sees both sides of the issue and likes to put character, tell stories in which you're not 100% sure whether what somebody's doing is, the right thing or the wrong thing. So I'm looking forward to it, and it seems like a good point to end our martinis on. And, perhaps possibly on some future edition, I will rant greater length. Because really, as much as I like to talk about politics, Brett, I really believe the core of our politics can all be found in superhero movies.
NATO
is the Avengers, and
all right, I'll tell you what, you go see the movie, I'm gonna go get a dog grooming license. The next time we get together on the Three Martini Lunch, I'll have a whole new skill set for you, and you'll have a whole new take on the movie.
Sounds good. By the way, doesn't Obama think that to get a dog grooming license, you have to go to Culinary Institute of America?
Oh, that is it, ladies and gentlemen. You see, I knew this was going to happen when I'm in here subbing for Greg Corumbus. Things get crazy. It's the West Coast vibe I bring to the Three Martinis. Good one, Jim Garrett. That's the greatest line I've heard in months. Okay, that's going to slam a lid on it. For Greg Corumbus, I'm Brett Winterble. That guy over there making the dog-eating jokes from the National Review Online, that's Jim Garrity. You can email him over there at National Review Online and take him to task or tell him great line because I think that's hilarious. I am Brett Winterble. That's Jim Garrity. It's the Three Martini Lunch. We'll talk to you next time.